Turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of 1 Peter and the first chapter of the book. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 20 as we begin in God's Word this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll begin our scripture reading in verse 13 and read through verse 20. We're beginning somewhat in the middle of a thought because we begin with that word wherefore, but we will consider the context of the chapter as we move through it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, if you have your place now, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without spot blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Let us pray. Well, Father, now as we attempt to open and consider and expound upon the Word of God, we pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would be the exegete. May the Spirit of God preach truth to our hearts through your Word. Father, the lips of man cannot profit man except the Spirit of God speak truth to hearts. And so, Father, may your Spirit guide us in the Word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to focus this morning on that text there in verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. If you notice in your bulletin, the insert of the bulletin this morning is a 12-point outline. These 12 points make up about 0.1% of the truth of God on holiness. And so don't look at these 12 points and say, oh, we're going to thoroughly consider the subject of holiness this morning. But rather, these 12 points will all come from this one chapter. But they do not begin to cover the magnitude of this matter of holiness. But before we begin to examine these considerations related to holiness, which we'll find from this chapter, first we have to consider what holiness is. And the best definition of holiness is found right here, for it says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness is the very character and nature of God. And it is that which is so totally opposite of us. Everything about God is holiness personified. And everything about us is wickedness and sin. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But what we find directed for our hearts in this passage is a command to be holy. And so the first thing I would have us to consider out of this chapter is that the holiness that's spoken of here is a deliberate holiness. And by deliberate holiness, we mean that it is a determined decision and a disciplining of our lives toward holiness. Holiness doesn't happen in a vacuum. In other words, we are to strive continually for holiness. Now, our brother in the confessional reading very clearly expounded to us that there is the holiness which is imported and implanted in us, or the sanctification, but then there is a progressive work. We cannot make ourselves holy apart from Christ. He is our holiness. And yet, the aim of our lives is to strive for this holiness, for our lives to be free from the iniquity that we received from our father Adam. And so, this is deliberate holiness. And we read there in verse 13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The grace that of God that is to be, I left out that important word, the grace of God that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, from the very beginning, we see that it's not attainable apart from the revelation of Christ, His return or our return to Him. And yet, we're told to be holy. And so, there is a command here of holiness. Be holy. It is a deliberate effort within my life. You see, if you do not make a deliberate effort in your life to live in godliness and holiness, you will not live in godliness and holiness. Left to ourselves, we will go to all manner of iniquity. But as the children of God, we are called to be other. Brother Vince has nicely mowed yards here. They're beautiful. But what happens if he neglects them for a month? Well, very soon, the grass gets disorderly and begins to grow tall. And the flower beds begin to grow weeds. And in a month's time, it won't look as pretty as it looks this morning. Why? Because it was neglected. But there is a deliberate effort to make it beautiful. And that's what we're talking about in deliberate holiness. As the child of God, we are called upon, be ye holy as I am holy. Guard your lives. Discipline your soul. Determine, Lord, I do not want to do that which is displeasing to you. I want to do only those things which bring glory to my God. And that is a deliberate effort to holiness. It is a command. The command begins, and you have the scriptures, the references there in your outline. But in Leviticus 11 and verse 44, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." And that phrase there in Leviticus 11:44, "Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves," that is one word in the original. "Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves" is one word. And it's a word which means to dedicate, to hallow, to consecrate, to make holy on purpose. "Ye shall sanctify yourselves." Ye shall set yourselves apart. Ye shall hallow yourselves. We all are dressed in nice clothes at the moment. We would not use these clothes to crawl into the car and work on it with oil and grease. Why? Because these clothes, we don't want to get them dirty. Well, we have been cleansed by the grace of Christ, but we live in a filthy world. We are to sanctify ourselves. That's deliberate holiness. And then again in Leviticus 19, verse 2. Speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And chapter 20 of Leviticus in verse 7, sanctify yourselves therefore, be holy, for I am the Lord your God. And then we consider that our Heavenly Father has commanded, Proverbs 1, verse 10 and verse 15, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent not thou. My son, walk thou not in the ways of them, refrain thy foot. Psalm 119, verse 115, depart from evil, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandment of the Lord. These are statements of godly men who had determined a deliberate pathway of holiness. And then in our responsive reading this morning in Proverbs chapter 4, the entire proverb, I hope you picked up on it, verse after verse, deal with this same theme. Verse 25 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And so the first thing we see on this matter of holiness is that it's a deliberate effort. It does not happen simply because we're saved. That, oh, well, now we live a godly life. But rather, the child of God has to commit himself. A deliberate determination. That I am going to live a life of righteousness before God. Now, all of our righteousness is filthy rags. Is that an excuse? Well, all the good I can do, that's filthy rags. I guess I can just do what I want to do. Absolutely not. The child of God is disciplined. But the second thing that we would see from this chapter is that this is a well-guarded holiness. And we take this from verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That word, gird up, I thought about using actually the word gird in the outline, but guard, I think, fits better what we're thinking here. To gird up the loins. Remember in the Orient, they would wear those long flowing garments, and it was difficult to run in them. And so when they wanted to run or go into battle, they would gather up all that extra cloth and tie it together. They would gather it together and bring it into one. And so we are to gird up the loins of our minds. There's a lot of stray junk around us, isn't it? There's a lot of filthiness around us. But we are to gird up, or we're to guard our minds. And again, we go to our responsive reading in verses 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. It's a well-girded or a well-guarded holiness. In other words, if you do not defend your heart, if you do not defend your soul from the iniquity around you, the iniquity around you will stick to you. It will overcome you. This holiness that we're commanded, be holy for I am holy, is a holiness that defends itself against evil. And that is why in the Old Testament tabernacle so much emphasis was placed on the priest's cleansing before they went into the Holy of Holies. They had to bathe. They had to wash. They put on their linen garments when they went in to the Holy of Holies. Because God is holiness personified. God is holy. And iniquity cannot approach unto him. He cannot tolerate sin. He will not tolerate sin. But we are his children. Excuse me. We are his children. And if we are to be holy, we are to have to always be on guard against the iniquity of this world. Keep your heart with all diligence. for out of it are the issues of life. And I've also given you on your notes the reference for 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 through 27. I may have 25 through 17 there, but it's 25 through 27. And let every man that striveth, and every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. That word temperate means self-controlled. He is self-disciplined. He is guarded against evil. Therefore, so run I, Paul says in verse 26 of that passage, not as uncertainly. He says, I keep my body under and bring it into subjection. And so, this holiness, first of all, is a determined holiness. And secondly, it is a well-guarded holiness. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. But thirdly, we find from this chapter that it's an obedient holiness. Look down at verses 14 through 16 of 1 Peter. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This holiness is a holiness as obedient children. In other words, a child may not understand why the parent says no. But the child is to obey anyway, because the parent knows better than the child. And this is a situation that we face many times in this world today. Well, why can't we do the things that they're doing? Why can't we go the places they go? What is wrong with this? You get this with teenagers a lot. Well, what's wrong with that? And what's wrong? Well, everybody's doing it. It's the common thing today. We live in an enlightened age. Society no longer thinks that this is wrong and that's wrong. But God's Word sets a standard for us. And this holiness we're called to, be ye holy for I am holy, is a holiness which obeys the Word of God as obedient children. I don't understand why, but my Father said no. And therefore, I will obey. And this is very prominent again in our responsive reading this morning in Proverbs 4 verse 1. Hear ye my children, the instruction of a father. And the whole chapter there we read for the responsive reading deals with a father's instruction to the son. And so it is an obedient holiness. In Deuteronomy, the children of God, in Deuteronomy 5:32, the children of God were commanded that they were not to turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And in Deuteronomy 28, verse 14, it is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, but he's speaking on the authority of God. He says, thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee. You don't go aside from any. When the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin, it means that homosexuality is a sin. When the Bible says that we're not to be like them, we're not to go in the pathway of the wicked, it means it. It means everything it says. And if we, the children of God, are to live in the holiness that we're commanded to live in, we've got to obey every command of the Word of God. Not just the ones that are convenient. Not just the ones that are popular in our day and age. And then fourthly, we find that this is a sober holiness. Look with me at verse 13 of chapter 1. Of 1 Peter. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. It's a sober holiness. This word sober means alertness, alert holiness. A drunken man, one that is not sober, he says things he doesn't mean. His speech is slurred. He's not aware of what he's doing, and he doesn't remember it in the morning. But we are to be unself-trusting in our holiness. We're to be alert in our holiness. It is not a foggy concept of holiness, but rather it is refined and it is intelligent and it is direct. We're to be sober. This word also carries the idea of fear. We're going to look at fear a little bit later from the chapter. But it's a fearful, sober holiness. It's a holiness that is always aware. And we find this in many other places in Scripture. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 5 through 6, "Ye are the children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Watch out. Watch out. Because the iniquity that is around us is very deceptive. And today, in this nation, there are multitudes and multitudes of churches which have fallen from truth. And now, though their lights are on, there's no light there. There's none left. Why? Because the deceptiveness of sin crept in. They were not sober about spiritual things. And again, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, "Let us not be as, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love." And of course, in this same book in chapter 5, we have that glorious verse that most of you have memorized: "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." It's a sober holiness. But also we find that this holiness we're commanded to is comprehensive. It is a comprehensive holiness. Look at verse 15. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation." In all manner of conversation. It's not a compartmentalized holiness. It's not that we have this little part of our life that dwells in holiness, but on the side here we have this little bit that's not holy that we just kind of keep. Again, to use my brother's yard and garden as an illustration, he doesn't have a weed patch. It's comprehensive. But a lot of Christians try to keep a weed patch in their life. But we're to be holy in all manner of conversation. In everything about our lives, in everything we do, there's not to be a part that is left unholy. We're to attend to it all. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Young people, that's a great test. Why can't I do this? Well, can you do it to the glory of God?
Right.
Well, what's wrong with that? Well, does it bring glory to God? Can you do it to the glory of God? Would you do it if Christ were standing beside you? Well, he's supposed to be living within you.
Yeah.
It's comprehensive. Yeah. This holiness to which we're called does not leave any cracks unconsidered. And again, Colossians 3, verse 17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto the God and the Father by Him." Can you do this in the name of Jesus Christ? If we would let that rule guard our lives, how different our lives would be. It's a comprehensive holiness. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths," all thy ways. But then we find, and I love this one, our holiness is an out-of-style holiness. Look at verse 14. "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance." Holiness is out of style, folks. It's an out-of-style holiness. We're not to fashion ourselves. What's it mean to fashion? Well, it means to form. It means to dress up. We're not to fashion ourselves according to the former lust. Our holiness is not contemporary. They talk about contemporary Christian music and contemporary worship and so on. Christianity has not been contemporary since Christ left the earth and went back to heaven. That's the only time that it was contemporary. Oh, but we need a new Bible because the language just doesn't fit our modern day. It's not contemporary. The Word of God endureth forever. It doesn't need to be in a contemporary this or a contemporary that. Our music is not directed by what the young people like today. But rather, it's directed by what brings glory to God. And our manner of life, our lives, are not to be lived contemporary to this world. But rather, they are to be different. Love, not the world. That's not very contemporary, is it? Oh, we've got to love everybody. No, the child of God is to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof. And so, this holiness to which we're called is out of style. It's out of step with the world. It's not contemporary, but it's commanded. It's commanded. Philippians 1, verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and or 22 and 23, abstain from all appearance of evil. It doesn't just say abstain from evil. It says abstain from the appearance of evil. That includes the way we dress. That includes the way we talk. That includes the places we go. That includes the friends we keep. That includes the actions that we take part in. It's out of style. But then we find also this holiness to which we're called is a persistent holiness. It's not a holiness from which we can take vacations. We find this in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter's not saying that we can lose our salvation. In fact, the chapter, verses 3 through 5 and verse 9, make it very clear that our eternal state, our soul, is secure in God. That's part of the context. But here, we're to hope to the end. In other words, we don't give up on holiness, but we persist in it. We continue on. And we find in Scripture the sad stories of many who failed in this very area. King David comes to mind. Ah, here's a man after God's own heart. But how many vacations he took from holiness. How many times he failed to stand and having done all to stand. It's a persistent holiness. It is a day by day, continual, deliberate life of holiness. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Mm-hmm. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And then Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12 to 13, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight the path of your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I hope you'll take these verses, these references, and study them out further in the days to come. But it's a persistent holiness. It's a continuation in that holiness. But then, the eighth point of our 12, it's a gifted holiness. It's a gifted holiness. It's given to us. It's not of ourselves. All of our labor cannot produce holiness. All of our self-discipline cannot make us holy. Ultimately, if we are to be holy, it comes from God. All we're to strive for it. But our holiness is of the Lord. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace of God that is to be brought unto you. It's to be brought unto you. Ah, it is God that will truly make us holy in the end. It's not of our labor and our works, but it is a gifted holiness. Look at verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. Look at the last two words. For you. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Christ was manifested for you. What was his purpose? Why did he do this? Well, that he might make you holy. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was manifested to make us holy. And so though we're to strive for this holiness, hallelujah, though we can't get there on our own, he has been given to us to make us holy. Flip over to this one. It's in 2 Peter, just a few pages from where you are. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding and great promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Remember what we said holiness was at the very beginning? It's the very nature of God. And so Christ was given to us to make us holy. And though we have not yet reached holiness today, we're on our way. There's not a one of us in a saloon at the moment. There's not a one of us out robbing a bank this morning. In fact, none of us are in jail at the moment. But my friend, if you're honest with yourself, don't you have to say that it's the grace of God that's made you what you are? That if it were not for the restraining power of God, if it were not that holiness and sanctification are gifted to us, there's nothing righteous about me. It's all about Christ. Hallelujah. We find in this chapter that we are partakers of the divine nature, and someday we will be fully partakers of that nature when we're with Christ. Divine nature is impeccable holiness. Ninthly, number 9, it's a fearful holiness. And we touched on this a little bit when we were talking about a sober holiness. It's a fearful holiness. Verse 17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth every man according to every man's works, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. It's a fearful holiness. Oh, I'm not afraid that I'll go to hell because I say that or do that. I know that my soul is secure with him. But I fear the iniquity that my soul could lust after without the grace of Christ. I fear daily. I watch my soul. I pass the time of my sojourn here in fear because I know there is no sin that I am incapable of committing. I trust not my flesh. And so, it is a fearful holiness. It is a holiness that is wrought in the fear of God, not the fear of judgment, but the fear of offending him. The fear of bringing reproach on his name. How many pastors do we hear about constantly that bring reproach on the name of Christ? That fear should rest on every one of us, regardless of what role God has given us within the church of God. May we never bring reproach on the name of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7. For God hath not called you unto uncleanness, but to holiness. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh that he stand, take heed, lest he fall. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Let me read that one again. That's Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Doesn't that sound like Samson? Hardened his heart and fell into mischief. Doesn't that sound like David? Hardened his heart and fell into mischief. Ah, what a warning that verse is to us. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's a fearful holiness. It is a purchased holiness. Number 10, verses 18 and 19 of our chapter. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. Notice what we're redeemed from. From our vain conversation. From our old life. From what we used to be. It's a purchased holiness. The holiness which we have today and the holiness which will be complete in Christ was purchased by the blood of Christ. And look what it was purchased with. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Christ is purifying himself a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. Mm-hmm. We still have a lot of spots and wrinkles, but he's in the business of removing them all. And then it is a precious holiness. We're purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then finally, it is a predestined holiness. A predestined holiness. Look at verse 20. Well, so let's start with verse 1. Verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. We're sanctified. We're saved through the knowledge of God unto sanctification, under holiness. And then verse 20, we find who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. God has predestined us to holiness. God looked at the iniquity of man before we were born, before we were created, before the foundation of the world, and God saw that all men were sinners, that all men would depart in Adam, that all men were filthy, wicked, and deserving of his judgment. But God elected us not just to salvation. God elected us to sanctification. God elected us to holiness. And so the holiness that we talk about today is a predestined holiness. It had nothing to do with me, but everything to do with God. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. God has chosen us to be a special people, to be different unto him. And so, we've looked at 12 elements of holiness in this one chapter. In this one chapter. And we have not begun to scratch the surface of holiness. As the old saying goes, we've got our work cut out for us. If we, the people of God, are going to be the people we should be, if we are going to let our light so shine before men that they may see our what? Good works. And glorify our Father, which is in heaven. We need to get busy and serious about the matter of holiness. We need to discipline our lives day by day. We need to commit ourselves to living for Christ. Let us stand for prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the great depths of thy word. Lord, may your Spirit apply thy truth and thy word to our hearts this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.